will I do? What will I say when life seems cold and you're so far away? How can I see? How can I pray when there's nothing left and night has stolen day? I will worship you. I will lift my hands. I'll stand. And they walk away. I will worship you. I will lift my hands. I'll stand and testify that you are Lord. I will give you.
Amen. Very good. Well, when everything else falls apart, that's all we can do is worship. But can I tell you, whether it's fell apart or not, that's what we need to do is worship. Is worship. It's what we're going to preach on tonight, and probably for a few Sunday nights, we're going to be discussing worship. We know the methods, we know the way, we know the talk, we know the lingo, we know the in and the outs of church and everything, but we fail to worship. And how do I know we fail to worship? Because of the spiritual temperature of the church. That's the problem. The spiritual temperature of the church will tell readily whether or not we worship or not. So tonight, let's look at that. Everybody all right?
Yes.
Pray together. Father, I come. You're wonderful to us tonight. I know that I'm nothing. Lord, you're everything. And Lord, I pray this evening you might just speak to our hearts, open our eyes, open our ears, open our hearts, and we might receive everything from you that's necessary this evening. And Lord, we thank you for it all. Lord, I know, as Donna even said, Lord, I'm a wretch. I understand that. Lord, your word tells us, even Paul said he was a wretch, old wretched man that I am. When will I be cleansed? This old vile body. Lord, I look forward to the day that I'm like you. But Lord, help me to be more like you even tonight, I pray. And I'll thank you in Jesus' name. And amen. Well, as Cheryl's saying about worship, I will worship you. And to worship to means to adore with extravagant love. That's what worship means, to adore with extravagant love. Do you worship him tonight? Do you adore him tonight? Is it with extravagant love? Not just I love him. No, I mean all out. I mean all whole hog for Jesus. That's what we need to be. All right, but we need to worship. And I believe the Bible talks a lot about worship. All of our worship, whether it be regardless of whether it be in the church house or whether it be in private, is necessary before any service is going to amount to anything. Before any work is going to amount to anything, there's going to have to be worship tonight. Let's look in Psalms 29. Look at a couple of scriptures right quick here, and then we'll get to the message. Psalms 29 and verse 2 says, "Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness." Give the Lord glory due his name. Well, what's he due tonight? Just think about it. What does he do? What's he worth? They say worship is he's worth something. Huh? Think about that. And what's due his name? What glory is due the Lord? How about we just look at your life and my life, just what he's done for us. Not creation, just what he's done personally in our life. What glory is due his name? And we'd be here all night and all day, all next week, all next month, all next year. For the Lord has been good, has he not? Think about that. Let's look, how about Psalm 96? Psalm 96. We're just talking about the Lord tonight. We're going to brag on the Lord. This is communion night. And we're going to brag on the Lord this evening. Psalm 96, verse 9. It says, "Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before him all the earth." We're commanded, oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Can I tell you, we got to be clean to do it. We need to be clean to do it. Then the beauty of holiness, his holiness. Can I tell you, he makes us holy. Be ye holy as I am holy, he tells us. But we need to worship with extravagant love. I need to adore him this evening. How about Psalm 99? Psalm 99 and verse 9. It says, "Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his holy hill, for the Lord our God is holy." Well, he's holy tonight. Turn to John chapter 4, Gospel of John chapter 4. Gospel of John chapter 4. And look here at verse 21. Verse 20, we'll start at verse 20 here. It says, "Our fathers worshipped in this mountain." Now this is the woman at the well. And this is her encounter with the Lord Jesus. It says, "Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him." Verse 23 is going to be our main verse, but we want to read verse 24 with it here. It says, "But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. It says that the Father seeketh for somebody to worship him. He's looking for somebody to worship him. He's looking for people all through the Word of God. We find he wants us to be a witness. He wants us to tell others about him. He wants us to preach and testify and sing. I mean, psalm after psalm tells us to sing his praise, does it not? But he's seeking somebody. He's wanting somebody just to worship him. Just to worship. That's all. Just to worship him. And let me tell you who it needs to be. It needs to be us. We're the believer, is it not? And it's, as we come here to this service tonight, to find out, it says people ignorantly worship. Well, I'm not ignorantly worship anybody tonight. I know whom I worship, and I know why. And I know why I worship. Here we have communion tonight, and, if there's anything that I, have a reason to worship, it's because of what this is representing this evening. Do we not understand that, huh? I want to enrich my spirituality, if you would. I want to grow. I want to grow. Do y'all want to grow? Yeah. Well, I'm going to have to worship to do that. I'm not going to walk in the Spirit if I don't worship. I'm not going to work in the Spirit if I don't worship. I'm not going to be able to witness in the Spirit if I don't worship. I'm not going to come out and be able to do anything if I don't spend some time in worship of the Lord. Now, can it be with a song? Well, sure. Can it be with a prayer? Well, sure. Sure it can. But do we do that? It's more than a song. It's more than a prayer. But it's communion. It's time spent to adore, to set, and I've said many times when me and Sherilyn courted, even before we courted, we would look googly eyed at one another. You know, we'd sit and just stare, huh? We adored one another, huh? Now we stare at one another trying to remember what we was going to say, huh? But it ought to be adoring, huh? We ought to adore not just one another, man. We ought to adore the Lord tonight. Now, in private is more special than in church. In private is special. When no one else is around and it's just you and him. See, when you're around, I can't share all my deepest secrets and when you're around, I can't share all my deepest hurts and woes and pain. When you're around, I may share a little bit, but I can't share them all. But when it's just me and him, I can share all my deepest feelings and deepest wants and deepest hurts and I can share it with him and then I can commune with him and listen as he speaks to me. I seek his face. I seek him. I adore him, his power, his ability, his strength, his knowledge, his purity. I adore all of that and I seek that because I'm in need. And can I tell you, it's not just for what he can give me. It's not just for what he can give me tonight, but it's what he's made me. He's made me something this evening. I'm a child of the King. He made me that. When I look here, we got communion tonight. Well, what do we got? We got juice that represents his blood. We got bread that represents his body. The bread's in little pieces. It's broken in little pieces for he was tore apart. And by his stripes we were healed and he suffered and he bled and he died in our place. If there's ever a reason that we have to worship the Lord, it's for what he's already done. Think about that. He's given us reason tonight. He's given us reason. He said, but the Lord's been unfair. The Lord's not unfair. We heard that last Sunday night. He may be unknown, but he's not unfair. He may be unknown, but he's not unfaithful. Huh? We heard all that last Sunday night. Can I tell you, that's the same way this evening. He's not never been unfair. He's give everything. See, it ain't just a man that died. It's God who put on flesh and died. See, it's not just a prophet that died. It's not just a teacher that died. It's not just a preacher that died. But it was God. It was the Creator God who put on flesh and died in our place, died for our sins that we might have life. There's no better reason than for me to adore Him with extravagant love for what He's done for me today. And that's what He desires us to do. He don't really want much. He just wants us to adore Him. He don't really ask for a whole lot. You know, He don't ask you to go to school and learn theology and other languages. He don't ask you to do that. He asks you to love Him. Love the Lord with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy might. Huh? Thy neighbor as thyself. That's what it says. He just wants us to adore Him this evening. So let's look at a couple of things real quick if we can. You know, we may disagree on a lot of things, but surely we can agree tonight that we need transformed personally. That we need transformed in our church. Listen, church, we better wake up. We're hurting. We're hurting. We better wake up to some things. Are you listening to me? We're hurting. We better wake up to some things. Look around. Look around. Take stock. And what happens around us, we better wake up. Because we need some strength spiritually. And it's going to have to come through worship tonight. It's going to have to be. We're weary. We're weary. But it's still business as usual. Did you understand what I said? We're weary and tired, but it's still business as usual. We're not gaining no strength. Yeah. And we're not going to gain no strength unless we worship. Are you hearing me tonight? What will I do? That's what the song said. What will I say? When people's walked away, when the burden's too heavy, when everything's going, what do? I worship. I gain my strength in a place by myself with God that He strengthens me. He lives in me and He helps me every step of the way. But it's the communion. It don't matter what else goes on. Listen tonight. Look at me tonight. The Lord is enough. I'm telling you, He's enough tonight. Riches is going to be gone someday. Homes are going to be gone. People's going to be gone. But the Lord is forever this evening. And He's enough in every situation. You need the Lord. I need the Lord. And I need to worship Him this evening. That's not going to change, huh? We need this. We need it for split churches and broken homes and messed up lives. Anybody that thinks all the churches around are in good shape, they need to get their head out of the sand. Huh? Churches are hurting. Christians are hurting because we forgot to worship. Can I give you a few things? Now this is just a starting point here for the next couple of Sunday nights. So listen carefully and then we'll have a communion service. All right. When we think about just exactly what we need, see what the scripture says. Look in 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians. Everybody understanding me tonight? 2 Corinthians chapter 3. If you look at that, it's talking about ministry, work, serving, all these things. But look at verse 18. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. We need change tonight. We need the Lord. We need the Lord to reflect in us. We need a little bit of God in us. How about that? Think about that. A little bit of the glory of the Lord is what we need. Listen, I'm going to be glorified someday, but when it comes to ministry, I need the Lord now. Are you hearing me? I need the Lord. What do they say? I don't need the Lord just to go to heaven. I need the Lord to go to Walmart. Huh? Ain't that a fact? Think about it. Now, look in Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. We always talk about verse 1, but let's look at verse 2. It says, "Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Listen, I need change. I need transform. I need something going on in my mind and my heart. I need a little bit more of the Lord tonight is what I need. Now, that don't mean I didn't get all of Him. I'm talking about I need the Lord. He's enough. He's enough tonight. All right? You know, we've taught this, and I'm going to take the blame, as all the pastors ought to take the blame for the lack of spirituality in the church because of what we've measured on. We have measured on the separation, and the Bible teaches separation. Be not conformed to the world, but be ye come out from among, be ye separate. I know that we're supposed to be separate, right? But can I tell you that's not the key to a successful church? We can be separated and dead as a hammer. Huh? Look at 2 Corinthians again. 2 Corinthians. Now, I'm not saying not to be separated. That ain't what I'm saying. I'm saying that ain't what makes a successful church. Huh? 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1 says, "Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of the Lord." Listen, I'm not going to get all this without the Lord. Separation ain't going to mean nothing. I can perfect this flesh. I can dress right, look right, walk right, talk right, act right, and be dead as a hammer. Huh? If I don't worship. If I don't worship. Huh? I'll look like a robot. But I need to worship. I need the Lord. I need the Lord. I've taught, everybody's taught, personal evangelism is a key to successful church. I believe we ought to be a witness. I believe you ought to witness everybody you see. I believe you ought to hand out gospel tracts, hand out Bibles. I believe you ought to talk to people about the Lord. I met a young lady yesterday. Talked to her just to introduce myself. Well, a little bit, I talked to her about the Lord, but maybe in about 30 seconds or so, I talked to her about the Lord. I'm not bragging, it's just something you do. Found out she's from Moldova. Found out, now how would you think you'd meet somebody on Phillips Run from Moldova? Huh? That's what I did. I asked her, I said, "Well, I got a missionary we supported, Eric Chapman." She said, "Chapman, that is a very familiar name." She said, "In Moldova, very familiar name." I said, "Well, wow, that's wonderful." She said, "Now we live down Asheville, North Carolina. Somebody from Moldova," and she started praising the Lord then. She said, "We just got in our church building. We've been trying to get things lined out, and my father's a pastor," and she just started telling me about the goodness of God and what He provided. Huh? That's wonderful. But can I tell you, did that help y'all any? Me talking to that gal about the Lord from all over, that encourage any of y'all? That help y'all yesterday? That didn't help y'all? Didn't make y'all a bit more successful or nothing, did it? But had I worshipped last night like I should have, and worshipped this morning like I should have, you would have been affected. Are you following me? See, so separation don't make the successful church, and personal witness and that don't make the successful church, huh? But can I tell you that if I spend a little time, there'll be a difference. You go back and read Isaiah 6, and after Isaiah saw the Lord high, holy, lifted up, then it wasn't no trouble for him being an evangelist and going until the cities lie waste. He said, "Here am I, send me," but he worshiped first. For he saw the Lord high, holy, lifted up. We okay? Then we think about, you know what I've taught, we went, and if you'll watch what we've taught down through the years, you know, separation and the soul winning, and then missions, you know. Missions, that's the key. If you want a successful church, make sure you got plenty of missionaries. Well, I believe that's all true. I believe missionaries are great. Huh? Y'all believe that? I believe they're great. But can I tell you, if we don't spend a little time with the Lord, ain't going to be no need to send them. And can I tell you this? If we don't spend time with the Lord, we ain't going to have nobody to send anyway. Look in Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13. Look here about Paul and Barnabas. Is everybody following me? We're just trying to give you a little introduction here. Acts chapter 13 verse 2 says, "And they ministered to the Lord and fasted." As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, they spent a little time with the Lord. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." Missionaries started, but there was some worship here first. I believe we forget the worship is what I'm trying to get us to understand. Everybody understand that tonight? We better spend some time with the Lord. Listen, I got some things facing me in the future I know is going to be facing me. I need the Lord. I'm going to have to worship. I've got to have direction. Do you know that if I'll spend some time worshiping, then He'll go ahead and direct my path. He'll go ahead and give me some wisdom and direction on what to do. Huh? Do you know that? But I believe I'm going to have to worship. I believe I'm going to have to worship tonight. Worship, I'm not going to worship for what it's going to do for me. But I'm going to worship tonight, what I said a while ago, because of what he did in me. For what's on this table tonight, for saving my soul, for dying in my place, then I owe Him my life. I owe Him my time. I owe Him my talent. I owe Him everything I have because of what He's already done. So I think I'll just go ahead and worship Him. How about you this evening? When we worship tonight, there's nobody else worthy. Sharon, you go on the piano. Revelation chapter 4. Does everybody understand me tonight? Revelation chapter 4, verse 11 says this. Thou art worthy, O Lord. Thou art worthy, O Lord. Huh? Can we read it together? Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. He's worthy, is He not? How about chapter 5? Can we read verse 12 together? Saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." I believe He's worthy tonight. I believe He's worthy. But I can't worship for you. I can worship with you. But I can't worship for you tonight. Think about that. Will you worship this evening? There's a song there in the hymnal, Clark, come and get it. I think it's "Take Time to Be Holy." Speak oft with thy Lord. Can we sing a verse of that tonight? I want you to stand together and let's sing that, and then we'll have the men come and serve this evening. You examine yourself. You search your heart. I believe we better get back to worship some time with the Lord. We're hurting tonight. We need the Lord. We're hurting. And we need the Lord tonight. Maybe you're not saved. You'd like to trust Christ. He died for you tonight. He died for you. He'll save you if you let Him. If you'd repent, trust the Lord, He'd save you. If you ain't right with the Lord, get right. If you need help, come. Talk to the Lord tonight. Let's sing a verse. Let's sing. With thy Lord, a
abide in Him always and feed on His Word. Make friends of God's children. Help those who are shalt be. Thy friends and thy conduct His likeness shall see. Take time to be holy. Let Him be thy God. And run not before
and talk with the Lord. Spend some time with Him this week. Let's worship. Let's be transformed and changed back into the spiritual creature that we're supposed to be, the new creature. All right, you be seated if you will, gentlemen, if you'll come. This communion service tonight is a remembrance of what the Lord has done for us. We know that. There's no saving power in this communion service. This is Welch's grape juice. It's not the blood of Christ. It's unleavened bread made, homemade. Carolyn made it. It's not the body of Christ. It's not going to save you if you drink it all. It's not going to save you if you eat it all. But can I tell you, it represents the wonderful blood of Jesus Christ, sinless and pure. They run down Calvary to wash away our sins. Represents the body that was bruised and broken, and though the bones wasn't broken, the flesh was tore all to pieces. Because as He died as a sinner. He didn't die because He was a sinner. He died in my place tonight. So as you take this evening, you do it in remembrance of Him. If you've been saved, then you're welcome tonight to take this. Gentlemen, if you would, Shirley, if you'll play.